Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Be Radiant Radio. You are made of light and you are made to shine. Positive, uplifting, and helpful. Welcome to the show where you'll get informational and inspirational ideas on how to unleash your potential, get what you want in life, and shine like you're meant to. Hello and welcome. I'm your host, Angela Loeb. Thanks for joining me for today's show. We'll be talking about one of my very favorite topics, and actually it's the topic of my third book by the same title, The Day You Find Out Why. Now that's based on a quote by Mark Twain, in case you've never heard it. The two most important days of your life are the day you were born and the day you find out why. So, as you might have guessed, today it's all about finding out why you were born. What is your life purpose? I love helping people find out why. It's fun to unlock the mystery, find the clues in life's experiences. What is our life telling us if only we listen, if only we pay attention? Because what I've learned is that everything you need to know about why you were born is right there in front of you. It's all over your life. What looks like chaos and disorder is really data and evidence. It's a matter of finding the obvious patterns, seeing the root connections that run through the important events, decisions, and attitudes that guide you. Who you really are, it can't be masked. I mean, not totally, no matter how much you try. But before we dive in and I tell you about how to find the clues and about the formula I've developed to help you articulate your purpose, I want to explore the question of what is a life purpose. And the reason I think that's important is because some might say that we as humans, we all have a pretty straightforward life purpose in common, that you don't have to go very deep to figure it out because it's pretty simple. And those people might say that the purpose of your life is to be fruitful and to multiply, that it's encoded in our biology, and so our purpose is our children. So for them, that's what life is about, raising children and grandchildren in order to perpetuate the circle of life. And I think that it is actually a pretty noble and it's admirable. It certainly makes sense. But for most of us, for some of us and most of us actually, that's not it. There's this, you know, maybe we have a choice, maybe we didn't have a choice, it's the way life worked out, maybe we don't have children to raise. But even for those of us who do have children in our lives, whether they're our own or someone else's, there's something deep down telling us that we had planned to do more on earth with this life than just nobly serving as a conduit to bring forth more humans. So we sense this deeper calling to do and become more than our biological identities. And I understand both sides of that because I have a daughter. Having been called to be a parent, I know that is the most awesome thing I've ever done. It definitely trumps all of the other experiences I've had up to this point during my life, all of the challenges I've overcome and the successes I've had as a result. I mean, I understand that you can be called to do something more, and especially now that my daughter is growing up and getting out there on her own into the world. So there's that, but there's another thing I know some people would say about the purpose of life. Some would say that it's simply to make the most of yourself, and I like that idea too, a lot. I like the simplicity of it. Just make the most of yourself, and you will have done what you're born to do. The Creator who breathed you into existence only expects you to make the most of yourself, and that's it. And maybe you do that by living as much in the present moment as possible, practicing presence and seeking peace and fulfillment through mindfulness. It can be a lifelong occupation, and for some, it is indeed their entire life's focus. Or maybe it's about having adventures, experiencing drama. Yeah, we go through a lot of drama as a human. And in doing so, maybe we're inviting opportunities for growth, however it may come. And they say life is about the journey, not the destination, so life purpose might be defined as trying to learn how to be present to the journey and not attached to the outcome or the destination. I once read a story by someone who had died and then been revived, resuscitated. And this person described meeting a profoundly loving entity during what seemed a brief afterlife experience. There was this life review, a sort of life flashing before your eyes moment. And during this, the entity asked the person, "What did you learn about love during your lifetime?" Fascinating. I think that's fascinating. since there are so many documented cases of similar afterlife experiences, it makes you wonder if there's really something to this. And if so, to me, that particular question points to the possibility that maybe we're all really born to do. I mean, all we need to do is just learn about and master love as much as possible. And as I've listed all these things, they probably resonate with you too. And I think that's because they're all part of the general meaning of life that we all share. The human side of us wants to procreate. The godlike side of us wants to master love and experience adventures and coming to know experientially love in all its many forms. Yet, as a human, you were meant to live and coexist in human social structures like families and communities and work teams. And you were endowed with a personality. You have certain talents and gifts and interests and passions. And you have this yearning, this inexplicable yearning to use all that and maybe even use that toward a meaningful purpose. And you think of it, and you think of your yearning, and you give it a name, and you call it your mission or your life's purpose. So you're an individual with unique qualities. Though you share some common goals and life purpose with humanity at large, like we all do, there's this uniqueness that's all your own. It drives you. It determines how you will raise children, if that's part of your life experience. It influences what you choose and how you choose to make the most of yourself. And this uniqueness you have drives decisions and behaviors, whether you're conscious of your decisions and behaviors. Because make no mistake, even if you're not conscious of it, you are deciding what course to take. You do have free will. You're not an amoeba without any say over where you're going in the stream. And, oh, what about that learning love part? How will you choose to experience and learn about love? That's unique too. So you see, there's this meaning of life as those generally accepted principles for human living that point to your purpose, but then there's also your personal mission, your unique purpose, and that is what we're going to focus on today. That's why you were born. Let's find out. And let's find out what that unique mission is. Okay, so all that being said, how do you figure this out when you're maybe too close to see it? Some time ago, I developed a process, and I gave it a name. It's called the Personal Polaris Process, Polaris being the Latin star, that's a Latin name for the North Star, the constant star that ancient sailors used to navigate their journeys. As I'll explain, this process is a formula, and it helps to identify, simplify, and organize the clues from your life so that you can, it'll tell you what you need to know. And this formula came about because of the career-related work I've been doing for 20-plus years. I was trying to figure out what motivated people in their career decisions, and what came out of that was a way to help others figure out their life purpose, too. In case you don't know, I was once a professional recruiter. I did that for almost 15 years. And before that, for a couple of years after I graduated from college, I was the financial aid director and admissions counselor for a vocational school, a cosmetology school, actually. I also lent a hand with job placement when the students graduated. That was my first taste helping people make decisions about using their gift and talent as it related to their work in the world. And when I interviewed students during the admissions process, I would learn all about their dreams, maybe sometimes having these dreams since they were little kids, to become hairstylists or barbers. And they were excited about taking their passion and turning it into a profession. And later, when I became a recruiter, I came across much the same thing. People opened up to me about their desire to use their passions and talents. They didn't want to just show up to do a job they didn't care all that much about. Of course, it was my job to quickly assess how someone brought unique value as a potential employee. And since I was a third-party recruiter, it was important that I help the candidates recognize their uniqueness and be able to say it well during the job interview. If they didn't get hired, my firm didn't get paid. So I was motivated because of that, of course, but I also enjoyed it, and I was really good at it. So over time, I improved my skills and my methods for identifying a person's uniqueness so I could do really well in helping them. And eventually, I decided to develop the Personal Polaris Process. When I realized how the three components, because there are three parts to the formula, when I realized how those components of the process go together, it was like stumbling on a secret formula that was right there all along. And over the years, this process started to evolve beyond simply being a way to discover uniqueness. It has become a reliable way to discover unique purpose in life, too. So what I came up with, this formula, what it does is it gives you a statement, what I call your personal Polaris statement. It's a sentence made up of what you uniquely bring to the world, how you uniquely bring it, and why you're bringing it. So the statement, it not only clarifies your purpose, but it actually serves as a signpost to tell you that you're making the right decision and going in the right direction. It gives you that confidence. Here's an analogy I like to use. Imagine waking up one morning, you have selective amnesia. You've forgotten what you do and who you are, but you know this is your house. You walk out to your driveway, and there's this commercial-looking truck parked there, and you know, hey, this is my truck. I know this. But here's the problem. You don't know what it's for, but you know it's yours, and it has something to do with your job. And in the back of the truck, when you open it up, you see these professional-grade tools that are obviously used, and here's another thing you know. You know they're used for plumbing. And you say to yourself, oh, and your memory's starting to come back, I must be a plumber. And that's what it's like to recover your purpose. When you find out what your tools are, you will know what you must do with them. At some level, you see, you've always known what your gifts are and what you're here to do. Yet it's really sometimes real, it's hard to see it in the midst of a busy life. And sometimes it's hard to see yourself objectively enough to understand what you really offer the world. On the other hand, maybe you've been conscious of your uniqueness all along. You imagine what you could offer the world with these gifts you have, and unfortunately, maybe you were hindered from doing that because of the influences in your life. Maybe you wanted to use your gifts creatively in a profession, but it wasn't approved of by your teachers, your family, or your friends. They advised you or maybe even forced you into a different, more secure, put that in quotes, secure career path because, you know, that's the way it works sometimes, right? We are heavily influenced, especially when you are young, by those people like that. Perhaps you wanted to start something using your gifts, like a business or a project, but a situation or an event got in the way, so you gave up on it. A wise person once said, everyone is gifted, but some people never open their package. There are so many people on the planet either living in automatic mode out of the necessity because of their lives dictating that, or maybe it's just habit. I've seen way too many people who are either they're just not very aware of the tools they've been gifted with, or they are aware, but they're really afraid to actively and consciously rise to their own potential. You, however, are here listening to this right now. Your curiosity is a sign that you're ready, and that's awesome. Now, let's stop for a minute, and I want to clarify something about purpose and career because we just mentioned that. And I think this is really important for you to know. If you're trying to determine a career you love and you think, oh, I'll use this personal Polaris formula to help me make that decision, well, let me let you know that it's not really meant to make you choose a career or help you choose a career and tell you what to do. It supports and directs you in a broader way. It's about the big picture. For example, a friend of mine told me about a doctor she knows. The doctor was a brilliant heart surgeon. He was gifted and he loved what he did. He was living his life's purpose. But something happened to his spine and he could no longer stand up to perform surgeries. My friend told me that for many years he struggled with depression over no longer being able to do what he loved. And then at last, he realized that his true purpose was really about healing and that he had merely applied his gift of healing as a heart surgeon when he was able-bodied. And later, when he couldn't do surgeries any longer, it didn't mean that he stopped being a healer. He realized that he could still find ways to use his gift of being a healer and therefore carry out his purpose. And that's when he switched gears and became a talented teacher at a medical school. So just because you have a gift that tells you what your purpose is, it doesn't mean that there's only one way to use that gift and carry out your purpose. My own personal Polaris involves using words to carry out my purpose. One of the ways I express my gift is through writing. I've loved to write since I was about 9 years old when I figured out how to rhyme words and write poetry. And even if I don't share my writing with anyone to this day, I still have to do it. Fortunately, I have found ways to do it as part of my career, but it's important to point out that my career path is not solely defined by this. But even if I wanted to solely define myself as a writer, here's the thing. A writer can have all sorts of career directions: novelist, journalist, screenwriter, advertising, and all kinds of other choices. Also, right now, I choose to write nonfiction. I focus on self-development topics mostly, but who knows, maybe later in life I'll get the notion to write a novel. But for now, this is what I'm doing, and either way, whatever I do in the future, it will entail writing. As your life changes, your choices and your options change, but your core personal Polaris doesn't change. Because of the general nature of these components in the formula, it's flexible for your life path, as you'll see as we talk about this later. So it won't tell you to be this or be that, but it will confirm your decisions are the right ones along the way. And one more point I want to make before I give you a breakdown of the three parts of the formula, and that's that I believe that your purpose is meant to be lived across your whole life, meaning in all areas, not just your career. If you can make a difference with your life purpose through your job, that's awesome. But if you can't, or you've chosen not to, that's fine too. You can be creative about carrying out your life purpose in other ways. I volunteer as a women's self-defense instructor. It's not what I want to do as a career, but I love volunteering and do it because it fits with my life purpose and gives me immense satisfaction that I'm making the difference that I'm meant to make. Okay, so let's take a short break. And when we come back, I'll go through the parts of the process so you can see how to use the formula yourself. In the meantime, enjoy this fun little samba music from Kevin MacLeod. I'll be back with you in a minute. Welcome back. That was a nice little break with some cool, jazzy samba music. I've been talking about discovering your life purpose. I love this topic. When I was a kid, I got interested in this stuff, and I can't ever remember a time when I haven't wondered about this kind of philosophical question, like what in the heck are we doing here on planet Earth? So I'm really having fun talking with you about this today. So next we want to talk about the life purpose formula. There are three parts to it: your principal method, your principal theme, and your principal gift. Let me repeat those for you. The principal method, the principal theme, and the principal gift. Your principal method is how you do it. By it, I mean your unique purpose. If you get to do something in the way that you enjoy doing it, that's your principal method being engaged. Basically, whatever it is that you do, there's a special way that you do it, and though you may be similar to what other people do and what may look like what other people do, there is a unique quality about it that's all you. That is your principal method. And when we talk about the principal theme, we're talking about for what reason you do it. In other words, if you get to do something that you're deeply passionate about, you know without a doubt it's the right thing, that's your principal theme. And there's an important distinction here. While your principal method is about how you do what you do, your principal theme is about what you do. It's the driving force behind it all. The third component, your principal gift, is the tool you use to carry out your purpose. it can be tough to decide which of your gifts that you have is going to be what you're going to say is your principal gift, because you have a lot of gifts. When you were born, you came in with a lot of gifts. But your principal gift is the core talent that you use as a tool for your work in the world. And by the way, the idea of having a principal gift is not new. In fact, you might have heard the principal gift called by different names, such as value proposition, personal brand, unique promise of value, genius. And that one called genius, I especially appreciate it since it comes from Dick Richards. A lot of my work in this area as it relates to career is based on his awesome book, Is Your Genius at Work? Anyway, the bottom line is that you have a gift that you can't help using or doing. Even if you stripped away all the other gifts, this is the one you've got to use. Okay, so now that I've introduced you to the three parts, let's go a little deeper into each one. We've just talked about your principal gift, which that one just happens to be my favorite one and the favorite part of this process. And actually, it's what distinguishes this process, the personal Polaris process, from other mission statement programs you might look at. So let's start with it first. I mentioned that you're endowed with many gifts when you were born, and I want to clarify a few things about that. Of course, there's the principal gift that is the part of your, you know, that you use that's must be used toward your purpose and your mission. However, some of your gifts are ancillary. They're extra gifts that you have in this life. Some are highly useful in helping you understand and execute your principal gift, but some of your extra gifts are just part of you because why not? They're fun to have and use them. For example, my daughter is gifted athletically. She played basketball from fifth grade through her senior year in high school. All her coaches said that she could go far with her talent if she wanted to, but the thing is, she didn't want to. She had no desire to play basketball on a college team. And to this day, though, she loves to run. She does calisthenics and yoga. She enjoys keeping fit, but being athletically gifted isn't part of her purpose. It's not her principal gift. It's only an ancillary gift and one of her many interests. You probably have a lot of interests too, and you're probably wondering, how do you pinpoint your principal gift? One way is to look back to your childhood when you were a child. There were signs that revolved around your interests and passions. For me, it was my love of words, which showed up at a very young age. My mother told me that I would pretend to read even when I couldn't yet. But there are other ways to figure this out, including noticing what you can't ignore. It won't go away even if you try. And that's because your principal gift will not let you get away with not using it. Even though I gave up writing creatively for about 15 years of college, after college, and by the way, my degree is in creative writing, my gift still shone through. I was always the one who volunteered or who was asked to write or proofread business correspondence, newsletters, proposals, marketing materials, and that sort of thing in my different jobs, even though it was never, ever in my job description. Like I said before, your principal gift is something you can't help using. Mine was no exception. Okay, so next up is the principal theme. The deal is that you've been given a principal gift, you have a principal gift that you use to carry out your principal theme. Your principal theme is revealed when you look at the occurrences in your life and you understand the reason behind your response to them. What do those circumstances evoke in you? What drives you to behave in the way you do? There are two main approaches that I suggest for recognizing your principal theme at work in your life. One, ask yourself how you would like the world to see you. Also, this is how you'd ideally like others to behave or think, as in, if everyone did this or thought this, the world would be significantly better off than it is now. For example, let's say that you figured out that education is your principal theme. You know it because you can easily imagine a world in which everyone is educated. It's a change you know that would absolutely make a vast improvement. This doesn't necessarily mean that you would be personally educating people. It would just mean simply that this issue is the most important of all issues to you, and you would feel compelled to do something about it. Since the principal theme is a key component in your mission, it is why you do what you do. This doesn't mean you're a school teacher. I know teachers who do not have their principal theme as education. Anyway, so the principal theme, it gives you meaning and purpose. It drives you to make a particular difference in the world. Now, the second approach for recognizing your principal theme is, if you know what your principal gift is, you can ask yourself what it is that you want to use it to accomplish. Your principal gift is what you use to accomplish your principal theme. It enables you to carry out actions related to your principal theme. So what does your principal gift guide you to care about? Let's say your principal gift is preparing food, meaning you can't help yourself. You have to cook and feed others. You love it. It's what you're passionate about to your very core. You might think it's important to educate people about the preparation of food. You might decide that if everyone were taught about the nutritional quality of food, then the world would be saved from the extremes of malnutrition, obesity, and other eating issues. When you realize that education is your principal theme, it becomes obvious that it's the purpose you would have for the gift of preparing food. Now, your principal method, that is a roadmap. Maybe you know what you must do and what gifts you must use to do it, but do you know how you do it best? That's where the principal method comes in. It's the complementary piece you need to complete your personal Polaris statement. Like, we have many gifts, but one is your principal gift, and we have many interests, but one is your principal theme. You also have many traits, too. And your principal method is your main trait. It's how you mainly do what you do in life. It's your go-to approach in carrying out your purpose. And just like we talked about before, all of these different components, they will give you a direction, a clear perspective on how to navigate your life path. But what makes the principal method special is that it gives you that special roadmap. It gives you that extra insight that when you put it together with the other parts, it gives you a clear perspective. Here's what I mean. Let's just say your principal method is nurturing. And let's go back to the previous example of the principal gift as preparing food and the principal theme as education. How might nurturing fit in with your principal gift and principal theme? Simply knowing that your principal method is nurturing tells you how you do what you do. Yet nurturing can come through in so many ways. You could be someone who nurtures children, helping them to develop and grow. You might nurture the sick and wounded as a healthcare professional. You might nurture people in emotional pain by being a good listener or being a caregiver or a professional counselor. But combining nurturing with the gift of cooking and the theme of education, and you'll get the specific roadmap for the kind of nurturing that you could do in the world that's truly calling you. You might notice that you've been nurturing others all your life and in all aspects of your life, but now that you put it into context with the other parts of your personal Polaris formula, it becomes clear that nurturing the body with food takes on a deeper, more satisfying meaning than the other kinds of nurturing that you've been doing. Now, some people have used this to learn things about themselves, to make career decisions, and others simply appreciate just having a deeper understanding of who they are. For me, I've used it in many different ways, to make decisions about volunteering to become a women's self-defense instructor, to say no to other volunteer opportunities that didn't match and would distract me from where I can add the most value. It's why I produce and host the Be Radiant radio show. And it helped me understand my own parenting style and the way I am in all the roles of my life. Of course, there's the career part of all this, and some time ago I decided that I wanted to be productive until I'm 80 years old, so I put all my ideas down on paper. I mapped out what I want to do, what books I want to write, what causes I want to support, what projects I want to be involved in, and letting my personal Polaris statement lead me, I easily came up with the specifics. And I know exactly what I want to be doing. Because empowerment is my principal theme, I know I want to be doing things that help disempowered populations for the rest of my life. So what about you? How does this look for you? What is your principal gift, principal theme, and principal method? How do you fill in the blanks for what you uniquely bring to the world, how you uniquely bring it, and why you're bringing it? For me, I am here to help people remember their personal empowerment by inspiring them with my gift of words, both written and verbally. Oh my gosh, and now looking at the time, I see we have to go. Let me say that this program has been especially fun for me, and I'm sure it's inspired you. I hope it has, to put aside some time today, tomorrow, or someday soon. Think all of this through and determine your own personal Polaris. It'll be a day to celebrate, important like your birthday, the day you find out why you were born. So join me next time. We're going to have a broadcast on February 15, and I've got a great show planned. It's going to be about creativity and how to stay in the zone. Thanks for showing up with me for the show. If you're interested in the book, there's a link for the book in the resource section. And if you're interested in any of my other books or my other resources, check me out at angelaloeb.com. That's A-N-G-E-L-A. loeb.com. And please join me every first and third Sunday here on Be Radiant Radio, where you'll get informational and inspirational ideas on how to unleash your potential and get what you want in life and shine like you're meant to. Until next time, well, be radiant.